The podcast you are about to listen to discusses comic books and comic book related media. Be warned, the following will review art, plot, and themes, and will therefore contain spoilers of the materials discussed. Welcome to Comics League International. Welcome. This is episode 20 of Comics League International. I'm Brent, the host and the guy behind DeadlyTroubadour.com, and I have a very special guest with me today, one of the co-hosts along with me of Living Japan.
Yay! Hello, everybody. My name is Motoi.
Hi, Motoi.
Hi.
So, yeah. Hey, Motoi. Hey. Where are you from?
Well, I'm from Japan, here in Tokyo. Yep.
Excellent. So yeah, there we go. One of the reasons that this is Comics League International is I want to talk comics with people all over the place.
Right.
I guess to start things off, today our main topic is going to be the 1986 comic Grendel, the Grendel Devil's Legacy volume.
Wait, 1986?
1986.
That's when I was born.
So I'm guessing you didn't read this as it came out then, being born. Wow, I suddenly feel old, even though I'm only I'm only 4 or 5 years older than you. This is
I thought it would be like more recent one.
No, it was kind of an independent comic when it came out, so it got to do.
But it was a long series, wasn't it?
Yes.
I can tell by the touch of the paint and like in the original one and the latter, like the episode that I read like recently. I think the color was different.
Well, they've recently in, I think, 2000, they recolored everything. So the edition we're reading is from there. And if you look at, I don't, of course, have any of the original issues here, but I've looked at scans of the original issues, and you can see a difference in color. I mean, it was still nicely colored, but it shows its age a bit more in the original coloring.
Yeah. Well, I actually like the original color because...
There's something kind of... It feels a little funkier. You know, it's got a bit more like... One of his other series, something I hope I'll be talking with a friend about soon, is Mage. And the original coloring on Mage... No worries about that. The original color on Mage, it's the airbrush type look, and it just looks incredibly 80s and awesome and wonderful. So it's slightly different than this. It's pretty. But it's less distinctive.
I can talk about the coloring thing. Do you know Doraemon?
I know. Yeah, the big
blue
robot cat from the future.
Yes, it used to be cat.
Doraemon is a popular Japanese
or any kid anime that like the really like Chibi Maruko-chan is also like a really famous anime in Japan, and it has been released since I was really young. But recently, or 10 years ago, they've recolored.
The older ones, or?
The older ones again, and also like the new ones, they're using different technologies.
Yeah.
Like the, I don't know how to say it, but it's not from paper, it's computer graphic. So, from my age, I can tell the difference when it used to be paperwork paperwork into animation.
The actual, like, someone drawing on a cell and going through and
I know flipping. It takes so much time and it's really tough and all, but you know, the computer graphic animation's totally different.
There's still something about... I mean, I like computer graphics and I like all that.
Exactly,
I think they can
exactly.
do some great things. But there is something about seeing something that was once hand-drawn kind of turned into...
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think, the Western series, I know, I don't think we have something like a cartoon that's been as running as long or consistently as, like, Doraemon or something. Because, you know, the series kind of come, they'll pop up for a little bit, and then they'll disappear, and a new version of that series will come in. And so it feels a bit more natural for the techniques to improve. But I guess with something like Doraemon, when...
Doraemon's probably more than 30 years.
Yeah, and there's a new movie coming out.
Yeah. It's still a big, big, big animation. It's really popular and famous.
So what kind of, I mean, comics? What did you
comics.
Read growing up? Comics,
well,
animations?
Okay, I have a history of reading comics since I was first year of elementary, I think, I would say. And I wasn't really reading a comic for a child. I was reading comic for adults since I was six. That's because my father's a huge collector of comics.
Yeah.
It's not a comics, but the whole thing.
The Shonen Jump,
the volume,
the anthologies, yeah.
So he's been collecting since he was 18 or 17.
Oh, geez.
And I'm telling you, he's like 60-something. So he's been collecting for 40-something years.
Does he collect just like one anthology title, or does he collect like a variety of titles? Or
Shonen Magazine, Sunday, Jump, and Champion. So four. And I'm telling you, this volume releases every week.
And these things for folks listening at home who don't know, this is basically, imagine something the size of like a phone book.
It's so every week he gets new volume, and it's four volumes.
Now,
every week.
Like, growing up, were these things, were you, like, allowed to go through and read his stuff?
Of course. It was always there. And it's a crazy, my family's really crazy. Well, my dad's a singer. So, the stuff that we were allowed to buy with their money was, unlike all the other kids, you know, all other kids would say, I got textbooks, so you can tell your parents saying, I've got textbooks, so could you pay me back, you know? Like, can you pay my textbook, for example?
Okay,
like,
so
the kids
parents would buy the textbook.
With the textbook,
okay.
You know, for studying or for learning something. Whereas my house, it was music and comics. So we get comics and music for free. Other stuff we have to buy by ourselves.
So
isn't it crazy?
So you had to buy your own school books. I mean,
school books
is
okay, but you know, like the juku books, for example?
Juku, like the cram schools.
But not that I went to cram school, so, you know, I grew up with comics and music, basically.
I think that's a good way to grow up.
I know. And no. My dad thought, you know, comics was a nice textbook, you know.
No, one thing, since, you know, we both live in Japan now, and you've lived in Japan, other than when you've studied abroad, you've lived here your life.
Right.
When you say, like, comics are, like, adult comics and kids comics, let's talk a little bit about that.
Okay.
Like, because I've just always, in America, for the longest time, I mean, comics were either the Archie gang and very kind of kid friendly, or superheroes. And superheroes have slowly grown into maybe being less for younger kids or like teenagers, to being, you know, written so almost on like the early Pixar level, where, like, sure, kids can read them, but adults can read them and get something more out of them. And nowadays, I'd say, like, even superhero stuff, it's almost universally targeted at the older person group, or, like, someone who can handle mature issues.
Oh, okay.
Just, you know, I think that Japan maybe has
different varieties.
A lot more variety of stuff. So when you say like adult comics, what do you mean?
Okay, well, there are comics just for elementary school students, and you can find a book volume for first grader, second grader, third grader. It's called Shonen, like Shogaku Ichinensei, Ninensei, and there it's like a really thin volume, but with comics in it. But it's a little bit more with a little bit of education.
In a
way, like, you know, like how to make friends, or you know what I mean, like the concept of friends.
Yeah, like kind of teaching morals or exactly. good behavior, and,
or hero. I don't know, like a little bit of like story about heroes, but it's nothing violent. It's not too violent. And, you know, happy-go-lucky kind of of comics, right?
Yeah.
For first grader till sixth graders. They don't have it for middle school. I don't know, maybe. But I don't think it's that
so
common.
So, like, from middle school, is that when they kind of just, I guess, more are considered to enter the general populace of readers?
No. I mean, they're like, they've got really different varieties. So, you have elementary school students... and reading those kind of really educational stuff, but at the same time they have this other volume called Koro Koro Comic. It's with the Pokemon.
Like rolling.
Okay.
Here, let's try this game. I'm gonna name.
I think it was Koro Koro Comic with Pokemon.
I'm gonna name a few titles that I think are popular in the West or have been popular in America.
Okay.
And I haven't lived in the States in 10 years, so if I'm missing something popular. I don't know. Send me hate mail, I guess. And I'm just wondering if, you know, your best guess, what age group would you say would be the target audience for these?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, and this is, you know, off the top of my head, Matoy's head. So we're not saying, like, hard and fast rules.
Okay.
But say something like Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which age group would you say is the target audience for Dragon Ball Z?
Well, Dragon Ball Z, it was released. Dragon Ball itself was released.
Yeah, the first Dragon Ball.
Yeah, it was released in Shonen Comic series. That's the collection that my father has been collecting for 45 years, I guess. I don't know. And usually, I mean, it's from mid school.
Yeah.
Middle school till older people, but mainly for middle school and high school, I'd say.
How about something like Sailor Moon?
Oh, that's totally not in the guy's comic volume.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
in
yeah.
the female. Oh, but the age.
Yeah, the age group.
Elementary school.
Elementary school?
Yeah.
Because I think like Sailor Moon, at least in the West, it's also been pretty... censored? Yeah, because sometimes it's like a little too romantic or a little too kind of
erotic.
Like, yeah.
And that was a huge issue, but you know, like it was in animation as well. You know, it became a huge, like, popular animation, and it was broadcasted in the morning,
like before people would go to school.
No, it was Sunday morning.
Oh, Sunday morning.
I remember.
Okay.
I remember it was Sunday morning, 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock, something like that.
You watched it every week, didn't you?
I watched the series before that. During Sundays they have this hour with Kakurenja Ranger series. For example, Kamen Rider.
Oh, like the in the States, Power Rangers.
Power Rangers. In Japan, it was called Jurenja. And it's my age. I was watching Power Rangers. And then Power Rangers are released 8 to 9 or 9 to 10. And then Sailor Moon comes. So it's like a boys' time
and
a girls' time.
And you stayed for the boys' time. And
I probably left during girls' time. No.
Here's a question for you.
Okay.
Do you know in America it's called Voltron. In Japan, I believe it was called Goraion.
Goraion?
Okay. Goraion, it was one of those things where it's five lions that team up to form a giant robot. And it's kind of, if you think about like an
is
anime
it Japanese?
Version. Yeah, yeah. I don't think
Gorenja?
I don't think it was Gorenja. Gorayon is is kind of what, well, my yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, and it became
Ultron.
Oh,
it's Ultron. Too new. Isn't it new?
No, this was I mean it was in the States in the 80s.
Oh, okay.
And it came from Japan, and this is something that a friend and I, like, we kind of bonded over. He was a Japanese guy, and about, like, neither of us could really get into the Kamen Rider or the Power Ranger stuff,
mm-hmm.
because we were both like, no, man, that's Voltron. And when I kind of was describing what it was, he was like, Gorayon, yes, Gorayon. And we just, okay, so yeah, we got comics all over the place. Do you still read comics?
I do, but I... the problem is...
Well, what's the problem?
The problem is, my father, you know, is still collecting.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's... Right now, in my room, in my house, we have 8 volumes per week. So he used to collect only 4, but he's, you know, like...
Now he's got 8.
Morning, Spirit, and all the adult comic as well. So...
Now, by adult... You don't mean like adult.
No.
You mean like more just.
Yeah,
kind
but
of...
it's kind of mixed with, you know, erotic.
Okay.
Erotic concept and social issues.
Okay.
And economic issues, for example,
yeah.
financial,
yeah.
whatever.
Just to be clear, because I didn't want to.
Oh, okay.
No. Yes,
no.
Matoy's
comics?
Dad gets 4 regular comics and then 4 porno
oh,
comics
no,
just
no,
showing
no,
up.
No. Sorry, Dad.
No worries.
Dad.
Yeah. So. Like comics that would be more, to use movie terms, PG-13, maybe rated R, not rated nothing stronger. We're gonna draw the line there.
Right.
So just so people know, that's what the adult meant. Right?
Okay.
More serious
Whoops.
Issues, not like.
Anyway.
Hey, not Garfield.
So,
friends.
but the what happened was I went abroad after first year of college.
Yeah.
So when I was away, I missed whole period of reading comics every day.
Because
I was reading comics every day until I was 18 or 19, and I had to stop it, right? And of course, I can't buy any, you know, the very new volumes every week
gotcha.
In abroad. So... I missed for 3 years or 4 years. Although I'm back, I can't catch up.
Yeah.
There were like too many volumes.
I really thought that this conversation was going to go, you moved abroad, and then when you came back, your parents said, I'm sorry, Matoy, we needed a place to put these comics. You can't live here anymore. I really thought like your
oh,
room.
Oh, I'm telling you. My father has already one house, basically, just for comics. Just for comics. It's not a house, but it's like a storage, but a bit bigger than storage. But the thing is, the comic was too heavy. They have a huge hole. I mean, floor just boom, kind of. Yeah, I mean, basically they had to do another construction just for comics. But it's that crazy.
That leads me into one more question about like kind of the modern Japanese comic scene, if you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll talk about Grendel. It's been my impression that digital comics
mm-hmm.
aren't quite taking off in Japan.
No, not at all. No, it's not.
Yeah. Because that's kind of... Have you heard any ideas of, like, why that may or may not be, or...?
Well, as you know, my father, he doesn't want to throw that away.
Because
he thinks, or everybody thinks, that the paper has a value. Of course, the story itself is a value. So, but reading it, you know, the paper.
Wow, because I mean it's so interesting to hear that, because it's safe to say there are more people in general reading comics in Japan, I mean per capita, whatever you want to call it. This is not a statistics show, people, But in the States, like, digital comics in a way are kind of revitalizing comics in America, because it's making it easier for people who may not know where to get comics, who may not, you know where to start, or who just want to kind of like, I kind of want to read stuff, but what do I do? And then they can just open up their smartphones or their iPads or whatever and kind of be like, oh, check it out, digital comics, and I don't have to worry about construction jobs.
Well, right now there's a huge app, like phone application, of like reading anime and reading comics. But I know many people use them.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it doesn't mean that they don't see the book itself as less valuable.
Do you think, and this just hit me right now, do you think it's because comics in almost any in paper form are so easy to get in Japan? I mean, because we could even go to like the local video rental store and like a large space, it will be like, rent these comic volumes.
Yeah. It's really easy to but if they're popular. Like the popular volume that I can mention is going to be Shonen Jump Magazine Sunday Champion, Morning Speeds, and you know, those kind of really popular volumes, you can even buy them at 7-Eleven, convenience store, wherever, even at kiosk. But
that kiosk, that would be kind of be like the little like stands on while you're waiting for the train. It's, you will never, if you come to Japan and want to buy comics and of course want to read them in Japanese, you will probably never be more than like 50 feet from a place where you could buy comics in some form.
But if you're looking for comics that's not released in those volumes, then you have to go to particular shops, stores, you know, comic stores, or you go to rental store called Book Off. But you know, maybe for people who wants to read with in digital form, that could be easier. So maybe, you know,
there's lots of factors,
and maybe things might change later on, but at the moment, people will still buy the paper.
Well, let's transition from this into we read Grindel. What question for you? Have you read Western comics before?
Nope.
What do you think?
Hard to read. I'm telling you. Well, I won't be able to say this is manga for me, to me, because manga, in my mind, is the Japanese form of manga. And when I read it in English, and all in capital letters, and with colors. Because Japanese comics, we don't
pretty
have
much
color.
All black and white.
Yeah, exactly. So although you might say this is a comics, right?
Yeah.
For me, this looks like animation.
Oh.
Although it's in aesthetic form.
Yeah.
Like, it's not moving, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But to me, this looks like animation.
Because of the color?
Because of the color and the touch.
Wait, the touch?
The touch of the pen.
Oh,
like
okay,
the pen
okay.
No touch, I don't know how to
like,
say
like
it.
Like the inking line and the borders?
Yeah,
or the...
yeah. Because it's so clear. Whereas Japanese comic is more of like a thin, and it's not really... I don't know how to explain, but... Yeah, like the lines are a bit different. And yeah, it's in capital letters.
So what would you say like...
And more words than I expect.
I, you know, we talked about reading this, and I chose this for Omotoy because the main character in this volume of Grindel is Christine Spar. And, you know, it's a female protagonist. I kind of wanted to talk about a story with a female protagonist since I managed to get a female on the show. And also because the main villain, at least for the first half, is mostly Japanese. I think they kind of throw away like, oh, his... He might be Chinese, but then again, he's also a supernatural being, so it's, you know. But
well, kabuki actor, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Tsujiro. But Tsujiro? Is there? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. And also kind of to talk about things like that, where some of the... This one isn't so bad, but a lot of times when you see Japanese characters in Western comics, especially the older ones, not so much anymore, but... It's kind of like, what's a name? I don't know. That name sounds Japanese.
Mm.
You know, gets thrown out a lot.
Well, in the beginning, they would say like, oh, is he Japanese? Oh, no, he might be Chinese, you know? Like, they kind of make fun of Japanese and Chinese. And, well, I mean, it happens. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying it's good or bad, but in that time, like this episode was written in 1986.
Yeah, 86.
I'm quite sure Asians were kind of categorized as one. Probably it wasn't too many.
A little bit more so than today. I was five, so I can't really speak much from knowledge, but I'd like to say people are more culturally aware now than they were even then. And watching TV, sometimes it's very obvious.
I mean, we have more information today, internet and everything, and you might know. Like, I don't know, more about Tokyo or Japan in general. And you can kind of differentiate with other parts of Asia.
Yeah.
But probably it was a bit hard. But it, but
I mean, thinking about that, like, the internet is such a great tool. Because now if someone wanted to do a comic featuring a kabuki performer... You can just go to Google and type in kabuki.
Definitely.
Whereas in the 80s, I mean, you'd probably have to actually do legitimate research.
Mm.
Go to a library. Hopefully have some knowledge. Maybe find a magazine and do your best to fill in the blanks. Well, you mentioned that, like, the capital letters.
Hi.
So the capital letters just made it...
It's so hard to read. I'm like, well, it's just because I'm not used to it. But let me give you a question. Like, why is it in capital letters?
Tradition. Is as far as I know.
Tradition? So is it easier for you guys to read in all?
They've actually done studies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there someone can probably, a more of a comics historian can give a better reason of why capital letters are used.
Mm-hmm.
And it could just be something like going back to newsprint or something.
Mm-hmm.
But there have been studies recently that have shown that the mixture of capital letters and lowercase letters are easier for even native speakers to read. And so, like,
okay.
I want to say maybe from like 10 years ago or more recent than that, there's been... a movement in America to go over like interstate signs and street signs and change them all from just being capital letters to the mixture.
Okay.
And then not too long ago, I forget if this was the 2000s, but in there, Marvel Comics and maybe some others started doing comic lettering with capital letters and lowercase letters.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why it failed, but for the most people are like, nope, we're not doing that, and it's kind of gone away.
Oh.
So now even like more recent stuff, I'm pretty sure it's back to being all capital letters again. Let me try and just pull up a. Yeah. So even modern stuff, it's still all capital letters.
I see.
And that just makes it harder to read.
Really, and maybe another thing is I don't have the I only have the computer.
Oh,
so
yeah, we're reading a PDF.
Right,
file.
Right. So like, even though it's like a digital form, it was for me. It was a bit hard, but
Well, one other question, just about the reading experience, before we start looking more at the story.
Uh-huh.
Is, you know, we often hear that reading American comics and reading manga, the skill set, like the way you have to read them, it's almost in reverse.
Mm.
You know, reading from like, instead of reading from top down, right to left, you're reading left to right, top to bottom. Did you find that to be an issue of just knowing which panel
for me,
to read first? Or?
No. So like it was always, it was trying to figure out where to read first, and then, wait, he's saying something wrong. I mean, okay, this was the right guy to read first. And then, yeah, and well, in general, like American comics got more wording.
Mm. This one, maybe not especially, but this is probably
really?
A denser version.
Yeah, because it seems like. Like, Japanese comics is more of like a picture, right?
Mm.
With picture. And then they, even though you're not reading any any words, you basically understand the story.
Yeah.
That tends to be a traditional Japanese comics for younger generation, not for the elderly people.
Yeah.
But this case, it was more of like a picture. Picture, and you have words in the middle and like in between.
Yeah.
So, if I'm not reading the word, the paragraphs correctly, then I won't be able to understand the story.
Yeah. Because this storyline, it very much it's the story of this of the mother of Christine Spahr. And, you know, almost the whole thing is kind of told through her narration. It's very much her point of view.
Mm-hmm.
So we spend, 2/3, 3/4 of the story pretty much inside her mind, which does result in a lot of panels on the page of just text.
So this is kind of a unique case? Because since this was my first time, I can't compare with other.
I'm not sure if I'd say it's unique, but it is. It is more narrative. There are some comics that have much denser text, but maybe not all. A lot more descriptive text, like especially the older ones. The older ones almost used to be to the point where it's like half, you'd see someone doing something like, I'm reaching for the cup. And there might be a caption box being like, and Mr. Richards reached for the cup which he would drink stuff with. And it's, you know, a bit more obvious and almost tiring to read. And some of the modern stuff nowadays can be very scant on words, just very few words to go through it. And this, since this one is almost like a noir story, a detective story in a way, the protagonist's point of mind, how they interpret the events, is more important to the story. So we're getting a lot more words, and words that sometimes don't necessarily coincide with what's happening, because it's in her mind. Yeah.
I see.
It's kind of like when you watch a movie, and sometimes movies have narration, and the narration doesn't always reflect the pictures.
Right.
Well, but despite difficulties in kind of getting through it, that's my fault. I should have thought better.
No.
What did you think of the story?
No, it was interesting. It was very interesting, and I liked it. But yeah, it's totally different from what I kind of what I expect in comics, basically. So
how so?
How so? Well, although it was like a story of hero, like it was heroic storyline, but then again, like the setting was real world, and it was really real world, you know?
Yeah.
Unlike the hero, heroic kind of comic that I imagine from Japanese comics would be more of fantasy world. Like Dragon Ball kind of
thing. Yeah, yeah.
So, but, you know, like, we all know about, like, Superman and, like, a Batman, and I've seen the movies. So, yeah, it wasn't too new, but it was new in a way that it was in a comic form. And I got to see, oh, this used to be original form of, you know, that all that movie. And,
because, you know, the setting here, it's kind of, it's like the, what we often kind of call like 5 minutes in the future. It's, you know, oh, sure, the cars fly, but it's not really important to the story. And phones can float around and come to you, but it's not really, it's, but it's still in the trappings of
the world
of today.
It's not like Superman's world it's still like.
Yeah, it, even with all the
high-tech thing.
Yeah, the high-tech accessories, it still feels very much like today.
Yeah, because I think, yeah. But what do I think about?
Well, one of the questions is, I mean, this story, it's basically, it starts off with, you know, a mother who's, she's a writer, she's the, in a way, the granddaughter of a famous criminal, and her son go to watch a kabuki show.
Right.
And her son goes missing. And she discovers that the kabuki performers,
Tsujiro,
are probably connected with this disappearance. One of the things that people have said about this comic is that they didn't find the main character especially likable.
What do you mean?
Like, people kind of, you know, read this and they don't, you know, they're just like, oh, I don't like Christine Spar. I just don't like her. And I was just wondering, like, what did you think of the main character?
She's strong. But for me, it was quite interesting in a way that although her son is gone, and she gets kind of mentally unstable, but at the same time, she's still strong, you know, and she knows what to do and blah, blah, blah. So for me, it was like the image of the mother who misses a child is going to be, you know, kind of mentally collapse, kind of. That would be the typical
bit more broken.
Yeah, that would be the typical image that I imagine, but it wasn't like that. And what did I think about her?
Let's go there. Do you think? Because I was just thinking as you were saying that, like, have you seen the movie? It's got what, Liam Neeson, the Taken movies.
The Taken movies. Oh, it
where like it's Liam Neeson and his daughter gets kidnapped, and the movies are all about like,
yes,
I'm going to come at you.
I was just
wondering, like, this just came to me right now. Like, this seems very much on, in a way, like, this is the mother version of that. Like, you took my son, I'm coming for you.
Oh, that Taken. Okay. I remember. Okay.
Yeah. Well, do you think like, I'm trying to think of a way to like tie this into manga as well, but like, is this type of character type, would you say it's more male than female, or would it, is it present in Japanese comics? Like, I don't know. Or am I just asking like way too pointed questions?
Female.
Well, because I was just thinking, like, when you mentioned normally this is this kind of broke, the mother who has a child taken, is you see it as more, it's presented more often as a broken character. I was wondering, does that kind of mean her actions would be given to the male character in the story, or
are... Well, even though there are, for example, like, although there are strong feminine characters mm-hmm. up here in Japanese comics, that tends to be not the main character. Mm-hmm. It's going to be the sub-main character. Mm. For example, like a lady of One Piece. You know the story of One Piece?
A little. The pirate gang.
And right. Or, let me put it this way, or a female character that appears in Dragon Ball.
Yeah, who are kind of, they're like, yes, we are strong and we are independent. Now you heroes go take it.
So, you know, but they'll never be the main mm-hmm. character. They can be a main character of one episode, mm-hmm. but not as a whole, not the whole mm-hmm. story. But I used to like, now you're reminding me about the strong character, the strong female character. And I used to read this comic called Tokotenyo. It's all female. Mm-hmm. A story about gang. So it's like, girls fighting against girls, and like really fighting,
like chains and punches and bats. Was this like one of the motorcycle gangs or?
No. But it is kind of Bosozoku, but the gang mm-hmm, at the same time. But as you know, like, we don't have the gang with pistol.
Yeah,
we have gang with the bat.
So
they're all high school students. Oh, it's really crazy, but I used to like this one.
I kind of want to go read that.
Yeah. But, you know, those kind of stories exist, but not the heroic. I don't know.
Would you call this character a hero?
Oh, good question. Would you call Batman a hero, right?
Oh, yeah, Batman's totally a hero. I mean, that one.
But, well, it's more of like,
one of the things that, you know, I kind of think about this story, and, well, to give some context, like, I've read this several times, and I've read what comes after, and then I've gone back and read it again, and so I don't know, I always kind of look at this. Of it starts out where she's more of a hero. Mm. Like, she's going and she's tracking down the people who took her son. Mm, 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 mm. And then along the lines, it's kind of once that threat is dealt with. Because, you know, the Tsujiro and the Kabuki actors, you know, this is a 12-issue series, and around issue 7, they kind of get taken away. And then I kind of feel like it goes on where she's still, the things that made her a threat to the Kabuki performers stays with her. Mm-hmm. And she stops being a hero and starts turning into, in a way, a more villainous character. Mm-hmm. And I was just wondering what you thought, like where you would place her on the scale.
Well, I think she's more of a human than a hero. You know what I mean? Like, human got villain side and more of like an, what's the opposite word of villain? Like, angelish?
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Angelic?
Angelic, I guess. I mean, and human wants to have good behavior, but at the same time, you do feel, you know, you have all this negative side as well. Mm-hmm. And her side probably used to be like I don't know the whole story, the whole episode. But, you know, I mean, I'd say she's more of human than Wonderland hero type of.
Yeah.
And that's what I mentioned, you know, the setting is in more or less like in a real world, and her character, although she has superpower and she's really powerful and all, but sometimes mentally she's sometimes weak, as normal, like we are, all are.
Yeah.
So I'd say she's still a hero, but with more human side, I could say.
No, that makes
I don't know.
No, I mean, it makes perfect sense because it is one of those things. She changes, well, her actions and what happens to her has an effect on her, but it has a very human effect to her. She maybe crosses a line at some point.
Exactly.
But it's not one of those things of like, oh, now she is a black-hatted villain who has come to, you know, be evil. All the sources of her actions come from that very human place we all share.
What would you say?
Well, I mean, I think looking at this, one of the main themes of this story is the idea of Grendel. The notion of Grendel is a corrupting influence. It's the thing that kind of says, like, no, take action in your own hands. Go out there and do what happens. You're stronger, you're smarter, you're better. And that means you can really do whatever you want to the people who are not. And this one, it's a little cloudier because, like I said, it starts off and it's a revenge story. It's a, I'm going to find what happened to my son.
Mm.
My son has been killed. I need to destroy the people who did this.
Mm-mm.
But then kind of stepping back and seeing what happens after that threat is done with.
Mm-mm.
And it's still that idea of like, if you cross me in my power,
mm-mm,
then I will come after you.
Mm-mm.
And it's that same, I'm just going to say, Grendel mentality that worked good against the true villains of the story, then start getting aimed at people who may not, who are antagonists, who are opponents to Christine Spar, but who maybe aren't actually villains.
Mm-hmm.
But because she's now got the spirit of Grendel in her, it's that source of corruption that leads to her downfall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it kind of reminds me of like the discussion that I had with my father the other day, because we were watching Hollywood movie, but you know, like the revenge, the Taken, you know, for example,
yeah.
You know, like, and sometimes they do this, you know, I'm gonna save my kid or I'm gonna save my girlfriend or whatever in a Hollywood movie, but in the middle, you know, some people get hurt just because of the car crash that you've caused, just because of the, you know, the bomb that you've caused, or...
Oh, a grenade. I must throw it into this crowded area.
So, yeah, in the end, you say, like, okay, you saved what your girlfriend, or you saved your father or mother, or whoever you like.
Yeah.
But you've hurt too many people. But it's pictured as a happy ending, right? And that's quite... It's not that normal in Japanese movie. Apart from war movie. I don't know. I mean, sometimes really crazy stories exist.
Yeah.
Like just killing all the classmates. You know, the I forgot the name of the movie, but it was like a...
The only one I can think of is Battle Royale.
Yeah, that's okay. It. That's, yeah, that's like random killing.
Yeah,
movie,
well, that's a completely different.
Different, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's like the movie portrayed as happy ending and heroic movie, but if you really think about it, not necessary, because you're causing so much trouble and you can be in jail for doing all that. But you know, in the end, oh, you saved your mother. You saved your. Well, I'm not really criticizing anything.
No.
But and then it just kind of reminds me of all that.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's a villain.
No.
But yeah.
And in a way, I mean, one of the things that I think that sets this story apart is, I mean, you can definitely make the argument that a lot of superhero stories, a lot of comics, a lot of things like that, they do try and make things how would you say, morally simplistic.
Mm.
Good people did this for good reasons, and so only good things happened. Mm. And this, you have someone who is a good person, who has a good reason to act, but in the end, almost nothing good really comes of it.
So
me. Mm. It's a very bleak story.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were to read the issues that come right after this,
mm-hmm.
it just gets even bleaker. It really, okay. Yeah.
Are you talking about different series?
'Cause this is the first.
This is a legacy?
Yes. Because this is the first, well, yeah. A little publication history. Grendel, the story of Grendel first came out, I think, in like 83, maybe.
Oh, okay.
But it was with a company that almost immediately lost all its money. And so it kind of got interrupted. And then the story of the first Grendel, the main character's grandfather, was told kind of in a comic book version of the book that Christine Spar wrote. So like a comic version, like a 48-page version, exists of that book. Oh. That kind of says like, hey, for the vast majority of people who never got to read this series, here's what the original idea was summed up in like 50 pages. And then this came out as a issue 1 through 12 of a series that ran, I think it was 40 issues.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts in this time. And then the next few issues happen immediately after what happens. And it features some of the supporting characters of this story.
Mm-hmm.
And then it has like time jumps in a way. Of, you know, the next series may span 50 years.
Oh.
And the idea is it kind of shows how Grendel
mm-hmm.
becomes almost like a pop culture icon. Think of sometimes I see this even here is like you'll see kids walking around and they'll have like a Nirvana shirt, or they'll have like a Ramones button, and you can kind of go like, hey, oh, so you're you know, a 13-year-old Ramones fan living here in Japan. Like, I have no idea who these people are. I just thought it was a cool button. And Grendel kind of becomes that. Like, people don't know what it is, but it's a part of graffiti and a part of this, and it kind of leads into that storyline. And it kind of just becomes like, hey, look, I'm edgy and cool because I know what this is.
Oh.
Fight the power, in a way.
So it was graffiti?
Graffiti and elements and just like a... It's really hard to simply describe what Grendel becomes because it just keeps on expanding out and out into a bigger story.
Oh.
Well, I guess kind of the you know, we've almost got an hour here.
Ooh,
kind of some of the
really?
Final questions would be,
okay.
Did this make you want to read more Grendel stories?
Oh, sure. But I think I first have to have like right tool to read.
The right.
But definitely.
Yeah.
And I have to probably yeah, I guess the more I get used to read American comics,
yeah.
the more I'll probably into the story itself.
Awesome. And I guess just one other question to kind of go with that is, you know, like I said, even though this is issues 1 through 12 of the series, it is following previous material. How easy was this to just read from the beginning and know what was going on?
It was quite easy for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, especially started off with the story of her
mm-hmm.
and her son
mm-hmm.
and Elite
yeah.
and whatnot. So for me, it wasn't really, but But I think all the other comics as well, if you know the prologue, mm-hmm. and like the stories before, then there's so many hidden messages I'll be able to catch. So that's what I'm saying, like, you know, if I want to catch, I have to
go through
and then, you know, probably I'm gonna start from her grandfather's episode. Maybe.
Yeah. You got to read the family history. You don't start there. Yeah. Well, do you have any just final comments you want to make about Grendel?
Well, if this was type of the image that the feminine image, because it's not going to be a short comment. Mm-hmm. Because like I was really surprised how she was so fit, but at the same time she was really masculine in a way that like she's buff.
Yeah, she's very muscular,
and in tone and fit. And I wouldn't imagine, you know, image of female in Japan in early or mid 80s. Gonna be this type of female.
No.
Well,
I mean, even today, I can't really think of.
No, today people are actually like some people are really into the skinny, bony type model image. But at the same time, there are people who are really working out.
Oh no! I mean, they're definitely real people. But I'm trying to think of, and I'm.
Oh, you're talking about.
I'm not
about...
plugged into pop culture or anything like that. But I'm trying to think of.
Oh, the comic.
Or not even comics, or just like kind of modern female icons, like. I'm trying to think of, are there very toned, very muscular women, popular women celebrated?
I'd say if there are kind of gender neutral, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. a female but manly character. Mm-hmm. Then they tend to be portrayed in this type of, you know, masculine type, or even in real world or in a comic book as well. But she's mother, you know? She's mother, and she's not known as a hot woman, right?
She's hot, right?
Yeah. And I'd say she's hot as well, but
we agree.
We totally agree. But a bit difficult in Japan to see people would. Okay, maybe you can like take a picture of Grendel. Not Grendel. Her real name, Christine. And show to Japanese guys. Mm. They might say, oh, maybe she's from military. The really toned female in Japan probably would be seen as athlete. Like Olympic athlete or from Jietai, for example.
Mm-hmm. And Jietai is the self-defense force.
I'd say because
I'm trying to think of that in
and with her hairstyle
I think this the Grendel storyline, I mean the main writer Matt Wagner, generally speaking, I love almost anything Matt Wagner has done. However, the artists in this, the Pander Brothers, and sometimes with inks by Jay Geldof, I think that's how you say his last name. I've grown accustomed to this art, and I can't imagine this comic being anyone else's art in it. But at the same time, I got to be honest, there's something about the art that I don't really like, if that makes sense. Like somehow it's become so intertwined that it's perfect with this story. But as much as I think it's perfect with the story, I almost want to be like, I just don't like it. It's this weird kind of like both really appreciating and really thinking it's effective and kind of liking how it's done, but also wishing, I don't know, maybe it's because it seems like one issue can be so different from the next, even while keeping it, and just some of the angular features and of the 80s, like the huge shoulders and the clothing that's done, and just choices like that, or like the crazy hair that seemed to like jump 3 feet forward from people's heads. I just want to like, man, it's all distinctive. It doesn't help that I do think storytelling wise and like the way the artists, if you've kind of grown up reading Western comics, they're using the storytelling elements to really help you lead your eye from panel to panel and to know what's going on. And so I think technically, and the choices they're making, they're really, really good. But the actual art itself, I'm kind of like going, I'm not. Which kind of meandered somewhere, but I felt I had to be honest about that. But yeah, it's, I don't know, I think Western-wise, I think women being presented this strong, I don't think it's especially common in the West either. I think it's probably more common to have a character like this, but in movies and media and stuff like that. I'm thinking of even, you know, a lot of times in like science fiction, in a way, it's more like one of the Colonial Marines and Aliens, Linda Hamilton, I believe is her name, in Terminator 2. You kind of have the strong, muscular woman who's still feminine, but also somehow masculinized. And I'm sure if I were look into it, I think it's a more common image for strong to still be sexy, but you know, it's not always easy to find.
That's true.
I don't know. I kind of think tough women are I'm not kind of kick ass. I don't know.
Yeah, they're hot. Yeah.
Have you? Basically, this whole thing is to say, have you thought about really lifting some weights? That's really, we're trying to show you some comics and be like,
I do work out every day. Not every day, but every 2 days.
I'm just saying, until you can use a grappling hook to climb up this building, you're not working hard enough.
Oh, whoa, okay. Well, no. I won't be able to be there, but I'll try my best.
Well, on that awkward note, hey, Matoy.
Hi.
There's this thing called the internet, and I was wondering where I could find you on it.
Oh, find me at matoyspage.com, and yeah. And Living Japan.
Living Japan. I hear that's a great show.
I know. I heard that too.
I mean, you know, maybe better than this one. Maybe. Yeah. Any other... Do you want to plug your CD or...
Oh.
You know.
Okay.
I mean, why not?
Okay.
You sing.
Yes, you do that. I do.
They
yes,
can
I
find
do.
You.
Oh, yeah. Well, find my CD at motoyspace.com.
There you go.
Yeah. Thank you.
And after you you go to motoyspace.com, and after you look for Living Japan on iTunes, you can go to Facebook, where you can like Living Japan. You can like this show. You can like, I've actually started another podcast, because soon, maybe around the same time as this podcast comes out, I'm going to be self-publishing a novel that'll be as an ebook.
Ooh.
The novel is called Deadly Troubadours, and it has its Facebook page you can like. And the other podcast is Reading Deadly Troubadours, which it's me reading my book Deadly Troubadours, two people, kind of like a weekly serialized audiobook.
Wow.
So each week it'll be about 15 minutes or a chapter or so of the book being read. So if you like this stuff, you can find other sources for it. And also, what would be really awesome is if while you're listening to this show, you go to iTunes and you rate and review this show. So other people can find it and share in the goodness, and then you can just tell a friend like, "Hey, you like comic books? Why don't you listen to the show? It's got some great people." Yeah. Well, and I think that's all for this week.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming by, Matoy.
No. Thank you. It was so fun.
Excellent.
Very fun.
Bye.
Bye.